Father God, this morning we just gather in this place as a family and as your children. We celebrate you, Father. We rejoice in you, Father. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what each person means to the other, whether we know each other or not. God, that we're connected, that we're family, that we have the same spirit. God, that you draw us toward you, God, and that we become stronger. God, that we know you more intimately, Father. And I thank you for what that does to the unity of our church, Father God, as you draw us toward you and make us more like you. God, this morning, I pray for listening ears. I pray for hearts that are receptive, Father God, this morning. Father, I pray this morning for the Schexler family. Who's lost their mom. Sweet little May. God, who is seeing what we only long for. Painful on this side, but oh, joyful on hers. God, I pray for Jim and Teresa Hardwick this morning. Struggling with cancer and God, such a vicious enemy. God, that you would place your hand on them, that you would bring healing and hope and relief. And God, I thank you and ask you to bless their life group for just walking with them and caring for them. Father, I pray for our Guatemala family that we left yesterday, day before yesterday. God, as we stood there with tears pouring down their faces, God, they did not want us to go. That you give them continued hope and encouragement. That you remind them that they have value and they have purpose. They are changing a generation that will change a generation that will change a generation. And I pray for the impact that they have on us in our church. That you will build unity among us. That you will create hunger in us. And that it will change generation after generation after generation. Father, this morning, God, just give us raw and open hearts. And give us joyful hearts this morning, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Good morning to you, Common Ground family. Good to see you this morning. I have to say that it is a bittersweet moment to stand here. As much as I love you and I'm glad to be here and I'm grateful to see your faces, having come back off the field there in Guatemala, it is with a bittersweet just resonating in my heart. I want to be in both places at the same time. This morning what I want to do is something a little bit different. We want to share with you. It's been about 3 years since we have taken the time to share with our church the missional work that we do in Guatemala. So if you are our guest this morning, forgive me for not delivering a message that you may be coming just to kind of check out the preacher or check out the church or whatever, but this is a part of who we are. This is a part of what we do at Common Ground, and you're going to hear from me, but more importantly, you're going to hear from several of the team members that went on the ground to just display to you the impact of the Great Commission in real life. And so I want you to be patient with that and to let that into your heart. And I know that sometimes I'll hear in church things that just, may I just say, drive me nuts. I hear things in church, so I'm like, why do we talk about mission so much? And it just almost takes my breath that would even be said, because we are called to be Great Commission Christians locally, absolutely, within our families, within our community, but also across the globe to the ends of the earth. And so I just ask you to open your hearts and open your minds and laugh with us and maybe shed a few tears with us and just hear the impact of what is going on in Guatemala. Why do I say that to you? Because if you are a part of Common Ground Church, you are a part of what happens on the ground in Guatemala. Maybe it's just through your giving, through your tithing, that enables Paige Pinsick to be sponsored as our trip leader to go to Guatemala to share her heart and pour into the lives of people. Or maybe it's because what you give to the church in part buys supplies in which we're able to engage and develop relationship with those people in Guatemala. You have every bit as much a part of what happens on the ground as those who have been able to go so far. And let me share one thing with you real quick, and then I'm going to invite Paige up because this is her ball game this morning. But I stood under the tree at the old school 4 years ago almost in Guatemala. And the headmaster there, John Hutton, said to me, "What do you see?" And he reminded me of this week. And as I looked at over there, you know, he just said, "What numbers do you see? How many people do you see?" And as I looked at that, I was like, "Is that a trick question? Like, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, I'm trying to, I said, I don't know, about 200 people? I don't know what I see. And he was standing behind me, and he said to me, he just whispered in my ear, he said, I see generation after generation after generation. Because what you are going to do here in this school will so deeply impact the people in this school that it will spill over into the lives of the next generation with hope that you sometimes can't understand because of where you live. From that moment forward, I see the same thing. And I see something even beyond that. And I told John the other night this. I said to him, I said, when we bring this back to our church, and it impacts the lives of our church, when we tell our story of how every single one of us are involved in some way, it changes us. And when it changes us, it changes generation after generation after generation. What happens there happens here. It builds unity. It builds community. It builds passion. It builds hunger. It builds risk. It builds challenge. It stretches us beyond what we ever thought we could. And person after person, as we see them go on the field, it went from the first time it was 3 people on the field, and then it was 9 or 10 people on the field. We've had up to 18 on a field at a time. We just sent another 9 on the field. We probably had 50 or 60 people on the field. And you know, my dream was that it would affect every person in this church. And I'm holding out hope, and I'm living on faith, and I'm stepping over the threshold. You're going. Just saying. I'm going to pray you to Guatemala. Right? I refuse to believe anything less because I know who God is and what he's capable of doing. And so it affects us so strongly and so deeply, and it builds unity and all those things in our church that it changes who we are in our church. It changes who we are in our community. It changes us from the inside out, and it cannot help but affect your family, your workplace, your church, which means the next generation will get the passion from you that you have inside of you that is oozing out of your pores, and they want what you have just because we completed the Great Commission. Make sense? And that doesn't just happen in Guatemala. It happens next door. Sometimes it takes somebody going to Guatemala to look next door. Because here's where we spend the majority of our time. And so that goal over going over there is not really to change them. It's to change us. It's to make us the Christ followers we say we are. And so I want to invite Paige up this morning. Where are you, Paige? There you are. I was looking way over there for you. Right there. Paige was our trip leader this time. And Joy, who's right there, stand up, Joy. You know, Joy is our Guatemala liaison. She trained Paige and then just threw her out there and said, you can do it. And she did a fantastic job on the field. Paige, let me give you a microphone. There you go. We got a little bit of room. Okay, it's all yours. Open your Bibles. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. Yeah, so I had things I could share, but I'm not going to share. But I do have to say a couple things. Number one, I had no idea how aggressive Angel Schaefer was. She will check you on the basketball court. There's a whole other side to Angel Schaefer, you don't know. But I think it's built up frustration being married to Scott, but I'm not sure. But she is aggressive. She's nodding aggressively even. Yes, it is a built up frustration. Say what? It's the getting back. She's been waiting a long time. So it's passive aggressive, but it works on the court. No. I didn't realize that Jeremiah thinks that team is spelled with an I. Yes, just completely taking over the basketball, towering over everyone, shoving everyone out of the way. It's all about me. Just kidding. We gave him a hard time about that. And Dana, whew. I told Ronnie this morning, Ronnie was crying. We were talking about Dana this morning because he just knows. He lives with it. Let me just tell you one story about Dana. If she ever signs up for a trip, you need to sign up to go to Guatemala just because of her. So we got these shirts. Who's wearing your soy kale? It's Jeremiah, stand up. Okay, so we had these shirts made. Because this was the message that we were presenting to the kids. Yo soy aquel, actually in American language, in the English language, it means I'm a whosoever, because we taught on John 3:16, whosoever believes. And so Sarita actually brings me this shirt that says I'm whosoever. But there's not A on it because it's incredibly difficult to translate, and we spent a lot of time doing that, right? So anyway, long story, but Dana's looking at the shirt, and we're talking about this I'm a whosoever shirt. And she looks at us, and she says, I don't understand why the whole shirt is in English, and I mean in Spanish, and the numbers are in English. This happened frequently on the trip. We got up one morning to go to the breakfast table, and we said to Dana, good morning, and she can deny this until Jesus comes back, but every other person heard her, good morning, and she said, Katy Perry. And we all looked at her and said, Katy Perry? And she said, I didn't say Katy Perry. Then we're all looking at each other like, we're on something. Then when she decided she was going to disperse the group, she said, I'm going to disarray this meeting. Well, the fact that you were a part of the meeting is what created the disarray. So we had to explain to her what the word disarray means. When she says that she taught English, she probably should have been in Bible. But that might have made it more confusing. I don't know. I told Dana at the end of the trip, I said, I'm so glad you're on this trip. I got to know you on another side of you, because we talk about the heavy side of the trip because it is moving. And, you know, God uses that. God uses those moving moments to pull on our hearts. But there is such joy and so much fun. And when you just talk about the trip, it just comes out naturally. Just you don't have to sit down and ask A, B, C, and D. It just comes out. And the laughter and the hysteria, and the way the people at the hostel became part of our family there, because they just said, wow, these are fun people, and we're probably on their Facebook page, CasaDeVidaGuatemala.com. You might go and see if we're on that Facebook page, a brand new place. But just amazing, amazing time to go and not just pour your heart into someone, but to do life, as Scott said, with your own church on a level that you can't do sometimes just here. The circumstances create that. And so it's just great. I want to read two scriptures to you, and I'll let you go. Proverbs 19:17 says, giving to the poor is like loaning money to the Lord. He will pay you back for your kindness. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Life's not about me. And you're going to hear me say it to you in this church over and over. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. I don't say that to offend you. I say it because it is true. This Bible is not about us. It is about Him. And He reveals us to us. And there is so much more to us if we would just submit. So much more to us that He wants to do. He wants to show us threshold after threshold that He wants us to cross, to experience Him in ways we've never experienced Him before. And it is always beautiful. Father, I love you. Thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for pulling on me. Thank you for twisting me up on the inside. Thank you for sharing people with me. Thank you for making me want to yearn for something more than everything being about me. And Father, as we come home from these trips and we share these trips to our church, my greatest fear, Father, is that we're not changed enough for them to notice or want to be a part of it. Because if it's all it is a story, it's not enough. And I pray, Father, that for every single person who's had an experience anywhere in the world, with this church, outside of this church, God, that we would revisit those moments. And we wouldn't just come home and talk about it. We would come home and begin to pray specifically and with earnestness, Father, how to make life not about us. My greatest fear is coming home and just buying a bunch of stuff and pushing the experience of the gospel into the background. Oh, Father, don't let it happen. Resist us when we resist you. Push us into a reality that we need to experience. Don't give us what we want, Father. Give us what we need. May we look so much like the gospel, so radically different, that not only do you draw us to yourself, but you draw others to us for you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.